The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. As I mentioned last week, we have changed our name because our coverage has expanded to cover almost the whole state now. For the next hour, I shall read you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. If you have any questions or would like to become a sponsor, please contact our office at 919-832-5138. And let's start off the Reader's Digest today with how to help your pet live longer. With the right care, you can enhance the quality and quantity of life for your furry friends. And there's a picture of four little doggies, a bulldog, a mutt, it looks like, a Bichon Frise, and it looks like a beagle. And they all have party hats on, if you can imagine that, and their tongues are hanging out. Huck is a lucky dog and an old one. Most Labrador Retrievers make it to around age 12, but at 15, Huck has lived 25% longer than that. If he were the average American with a life expectancy of 78.6 years, he would be 98. What's his secret? It's a combination of things, including nutritious food with vitamins and oils, a lot of love and attention, and exercise, says Huck's owner, Henry Uman. He's also never left alone, but is always with at least one of his three dog siblings or a member of his human family. In 2016, nearly 57% of American households owned a pet, according to the American Veterinary Medical Association. But it's safe to say that 100% of them wish their dog or cat had Huck's luck and live a level of care. In fact, advances in veterinary medicine have made it easier than ever to boost your pet's lifespan and quality of life. Some now standard procedures, for instance, vaccinations against rabies, hepatitis, and more, have had a great impact. On the other end of the spectrum are breakthroughs that help animals survive injuries and illnesses that might have shortened their lives a few years ago. And this is a side thing. This isn't a Reader's Digest, but I will mention it. There's apparently a canine flu that's traveling around. So if your dog has not been vaccinated against it, you really need to get it done because it's definitely almost always fatal. Take Frigidity, a Bengal cat. Just after his first birthday, Frigidity underwent surgery for a fractured hip, followed by physical therapy on a water treadmill. He recovered, but 7 months later, he fractured his other hip. In March 2018, he had a hip replacement for a cat for the first time that vets at Purdue University performed the procedure. Today, Frigidity is healthy as well as a horse. The bill for Frigidity's medical care was steep, almost $10,000, but owners Tyler and Faith Goldsberry thought it was worth it. Pets deserve the best treatment we can give them, and we would never add to our family without having the means to make sure they're taken care of, Tyler says. It helped that the family had pet insurance, once a rarity. Pet insurance is now enough demand that some employers offer it as a benefit. Should you invest in pet insurance? What about gluten-free food? There are so many health and care options available these days that finding the ones that are worthwhile for your pet can be daunting. This guide is a good place to start. Watch their weight, number one. An estimated 60% of cats and 56% of dogs are overweight or obese, according to the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention. There's actually an association for that? That's interesting. That can lead to big trouble. Excess weight increases the risk of conditions like diabetes, some cancers, and certain breathing problems. While the extra strain on the joints can hasten the onset and worsen the severity of arthritis, says Joe Gale, Global Scientific Advocacy and Stakeholder Relations Manager for Mars Pet Care. One study found that being overweight shortened a dog's lifespan by about 2.5 years compared with ideal weight canine peers. How can you tell whether your pet needs to drop some pounds? When you look at your dog or cat from above, you should see a distinct tuck at the waistline, and yes, you should be able to feel but not see the ribs. If not, a few small changes could help. Walk your dog a few extra blocks a day. Limit treats, and weigh your dog or cat regularly. Number two, visit the vet. As with humans, early exams can spot problems soon enough for successful treatment. Because pets can age more quickly than humans, issues can creep up fast, says Pete Lance, DVM, Director of Emergency and Critical Care at St. Francis Veterinary Center in Swedesboro, New Jersey. Keep up on routine treatments such as vaccinations and deworming, or consider a cat or dog wellness plan, which includes exams, vaccination, dental cleanings, and tests. Number 3, don't fret about gluten. Pets have a specific nutritional requirements to stay healthy. Most cats need to eat meat every day to get their protein. But just like human world, the pet world has its fair share of dietary crazes, most of which you should ignore. For instance, there are plenty of gluten-free dog foods for sale now, but gluten allergies seem to be extremely rare in pets, according to a report published by Tufts University. Visit petfoodinstitute.org for more dietary information. Number 4, make an exercise plan. Pets need daily workouts to stay healthy, so a formal exercise regime is a good idea. Aim for between 20 to 30 minutes and 2 hours of daily activity, such as walking or running, recommends PetMed.com. Athletic breeds such as German Shepherds and Collies will require more exercise, while smaller dogs such as Bulldogs can benefit from a short walk around the neighborhood. You can stimulate your cat by playing with a laser pointer, avoid aiming it at your cat's eyes, providing catnip-infused toys, or adding purchase to your home. And believe it or not, GPS or Wi-Fi-enabled devices can track your pet's steps, calories burned, heart rate, and other indicators. Wow, that's cool. 5, brush their teeth. According to the Banfield Pet Hospital, 68% of cats and 76% of dogs have dental disease. It may be linked to the development of heart and kidney disease. To avoid that, brush your pet's teeth every day. It's not as daunting as you might think. Kneel behind your pet and gently lift his or her lips. Then brush the teeth and gums with a pet-friendly toothbrush or finger brush and pet toothpaste. Dogs especially dislike the taste of mint, and you don't want Fido swallowing fluoridated paste. You should also get your pet's teeth professionally cleaned by your vet at least once a year. Consider pet insurance. Number 6. Think about the kind of care you want to provide your pet. Some policies cover only accidents, others cover everything, including wellness care. All have deductibles. If you're a do-it-all pet parent, then insurance will take most of the financial concerns out of your mind, Dr. Land says. Premiums obviously vary, averaging about $10 a month for limited coverage and $100 a month for comprehensive care, according to PetInsurance.com. Number 7, protect against parasites. All pets are susceptible to infections, disease, and parasites, Gale says. For example, according to Lillian Wong, DVN, a veterinarian with Banfield Pet Hospital, you'll find heartworm wherever you find mosquitoes. Check your pet for ticks regularly and ask your vet about preventive tools such as medications and monthly injections. Number 8. Think about a DNA test. It may sound crazy, but pinpointing your dog's genetic history can help protect against breed-specific diseases. For example, Labrador Retrievers and German Shepherds are likely to develop dysplasia. DNA tests aren't 100% accurate. Neither are the commercial tests for humans, but they'll help narrow down the possible breeds. And for $189, the Embark DNA test screens for breed traits, ancestry, and risk of more than 160 genetic canine health conditions. Number 9. Help them age gracefully. Cats reach senior status when they're between 11 to 14 years old. For dogs, it's around 7 or 8. If your cat has arthritis, consider a litter box with lower rails. Has your pet's vision deteriorated? Place extra lights on stairs and in dark hallways. Finally, put rugs on slick floors and baby gates at the top of stairs to prevent falls. Now here's an article that's close to home. I won. The North Carolina State Fair Watermelon Weigh-Off, Chris Kent, age 56, Sevierville, Tennessee. This is the question. Your 327-point found watermelon broke the fair's record last year. How did you even get it to the fair in one piece? And the answer, I used 4 guys and a tarp made of special handles. We rolled the watermelon onto one side, put the tarp underneath it, and rolled it back to the other side. Then everybody grabbed a corner, and we slid it into the back of my hatchback car. You must be quite the sight on the road. We'll be driving down the interstate and people will pull up right beside us. It's borderline dangerous. My wife takes a piece of paper and writes down the weight because people always mouth how much, and you just hold up the paper to tell them. Did you use some kind of magic seeds? We use Carolina Cross. It's the only variety that gets this big. We breed our own. We even hand-pollinate them. What's the hardest thing about growing a 300-pound watermelon? The rabbits and mice, because they'll chew on the vines. I put out mouse traps and I have a BB gun. I even put coyote urine around the garden because coyotes are a natural predator. Rabbits won't go near it if they think coyotes are out. As of 2018 way-off winter, Kent was paid $6 per pound for a watermelon, which came to $1,965. His watermelon weighed 327.5 pounds. That's a big watermelon. Life in these United States. And the opening cartoon for this shows the pearly gates and St. Peter standing in front of his podium checking in. And there's a man obviously coming to heaven, and there's a cell phone floating away. And the St. Peter says, "You'll be relieved to hear your phone died too." The first stage of a realistic baking show would be each contestant trying to open a jammed internal drawer, utensil drawer. I stopped off at the supermarket to buy my son his favorite pie, sour cream raisin. The box had the $15 price stamped on the top, which I thought would be tacky on a gift, so I asked the man behind the counter for a marker to black out the price. Didn't work. You could still see the price through the ink. "I know what to do," the man said. "I'll cover it up." And we slapped the sticker over the price that read $2.98 day old. Because my wife and I are flea market dealers, we usually carry stacks of $1 bills. Not long ago, we had lunch at a restaurant and paid the check with singles. As our waitress collected the ones, she sized up my 70-year-old wife and said, "You had a good night dancing last night, huh?" My husband talks in his sleep. Unfortunately, he also snores, so I sometimes give him the wifely elbow. "What?" he demanded one night, still mostly asleep. "Turn over, you're snoring," I said. He did as instructed, and while doing so muttered, "That's nothing, you should hear my wife snore." Now that's funny. A friend took her son to the doctor's office after he sprained his finger. The nurse applied a splint, only to be told she put it on the wrong finger. "I'm sorry," she said. "That's okay," my friend's son said. "We're only off by one digit." My neighbor texted me. "I just made a synonym buns." I texted back, "Don't you mean like grammar used to make?" I haven't heard from her since. Take the brain freeze quiz. You know sometimes how your brain can't conjure up a really simple word, but somehow constructs an inspired substitution? Here's one from Brampton. "My 17-year-old child forgot the word fool and called it a horse puppy instead. Twitter is filled with these semi-precious gems. Try to deduce these really elusive words, and the answers are listed below, which I'll give them to you. Are we a really wet salad? And the answer for that is, well, where is it? Oh, there we go. Soup. Number two, how far machine? That's a tape measure. Number three, one of the metal things with four stubby fingers. It's a fork. Arctic cabbage. That's an iceberg lettuce. A meat pickle. That's a hot dog. Department of Wit. Overworked? You're not the first. Turns out we've complained about our overflowing inboxes since the dawn of overtime. And there's a picture of a Neanderthal typing on a stone computer. Neanderthal, 40,000 BC. Sorry. I can't make it to your cave painting and wine thing. I've been crashing on this new wheel design since this morning, and we still have to submit the spec for the first car concept to engineering. Innkeeper, 1 BC. I'm already late on the quarterly occupancy filing. Will you tell the folks in the lobby that we don't have any room tonight? The equine team might have the bandwidth to make some space in one of the stalls. Needless to say, we know what that was about. The Peasant, 1100. I can't get away from this wheat productivity analysis for the Duke. Any chance you can get the numbers from the other fiefdoms by close of business today? I'm having a tag-up with the agricultural team tomorrow, and it'd be great to have some fidelity on our progress. Rebel, 1775. Why is communicating tasking us with an urgent message relay around town? Can you see whether Paul or William is around? They were super fired up about the whole revolution initiative during all hands, so this is honestly their baby. Frenchman, 1815. I'm double and triple booked fighting over our new acquisition in Belgium. Pinging you for a status update on supply chain integration. I know we're really low on materials downstream. Should I be floating my resume elsewhere? I am the food on your plate. Corn, the most important crop in the land. Say you were to stroll through a quintessential American landscape one summer morning, looking across vast fields of slimmering, swaying corn stalks a dozen feet tall. Might you be tempted to sneak down into a row and swipe an ear so that you could sink your teeth into my sweet, juicy kernels right there and then? If so, I'd almost certainly disappoint you. The bitter truth is less than 1% of what's grown in America is sweet corn. 99 times out of 100, biting into me fresh from the field would be like biting into a raw potato. Welcome to my world, our world, dominated by tough, inedible field corn. And I do mean my world. Even with minimal contribution from the buttery kernels that you savor come summertime, I am by far the nature's largest crop. Chemists have learned how to turn the starch, fiber, oils, and proteins of field corn into industrial products ranging from ethanol and plastic to high fructose corn syrup. I am used in engine fuel, farm animal food, shampoo, antibiotics, show polish, wallpaper, and aspirin. My field version has thrived as an actual food, too. Cornmeal is the foundation of your polenta, grits, corned beef, and corn chips, hush puppies, tamales, and more. Put my uses together, and 4,000 items in your supermarket are made in part from me. In the beginning, I wasn't recognizable as corn at all. My ancestor, teosinte, is a wild Mexican grass with seeds so small, hard, and edible that you wouldn't possibly imagine they'd become the kernels of today. In 1500 B.C. or so, innovative Mesoamericans boiled me with limestone and ash. That may not sound appetizing, but this nixtamalized corn, as it became to be called, was ground more easily into dough. It also had a whole new flavor, and when cooked into tortillas, it gave it one of the world's greatest culinary gifts, tacos. Most important, the addition of lime and ash helped radically increase my digestibility and nutritional value by uncorking two of my key amino acids, which allowed whole populations to sustain themselves on me alone. Not everyone gets the biology lesson at first. The poor souls who transported me to Europe without the limestone trick develop a nasty amino acid deficiency called pellagra, which causes light sensitivity, skin lesions, insomnia, and a bloodless complexion. It was during an 18th-century pellagra outbreak that vampire myths got their start. That's right. You can likely thank me for Dracula. I emerged a modern success story, a vegetable that also qualifies as a seed, a fruit, a grain, and a starch, clearly the planet's most credentialed plant. I'm even a great source of heart-healthy fiber, as well as a modest array of vitamins, such as A, and minerals such as magnesium. None of that matters a whit to by summer, when you can finally enjoy my essential version tender off the cob, glistening with butter and sprinkled with salt. The key word is summer. Sweet corn is a seasonal crop with a short shelf life. My sweetest declines precipitously the moment I'm picked, as my sugar starts converted to complex starches. Hence, the cookbook aphorism about getting corn lickety-split from the field into the boiling pot, or alternatively, onto the grill, husk off for deeper charring, or to the microwave for a few minutes, husk on. Some supermarket summer corn is sufficiently sweet thanks to modern breeding and efficient supply chains, but I want my best from a farm stand or a farmer's market. Look for soft and moist silk. Avoid kernels that are over-swollen or bulbulous, an indication I was picked too late and am exiting the milky phase when I taste best. Similarly, if an ear feels light and skinny, I want not yet ready to be picked. And when the summer winds down, buying me from the frozen aisle is a fine option. I've retained my sweetness, having been put in Cyrus storage shortly after being harvested. If stacks of corn on the grill and a million other things, I'm used for weren't enough, I can also be exploded into fluffy white snack, popcorn. I know, I am a wonder of form and function, but having taken 9,000 years to go From a meager grass to a domesticated goddess, I retain an Achilles heel. That makes me especially grateful for that varied use. Without humans to spread my seed, I'd vanish from the face of the earth. In other words, I need you, and you need me. How about we keep it that way? Here's a quick recipe for succotash from summer corn. In a large enough oven or pot, melt 1 stick, 8 tablespoons of unsalted butter over medium to high heat until foaming. Add 1 diced medium yellow onion and stir until beginning to soften but not brown, about 3 minutes. Add 4 cups, about 5 ears, of corn kernels, frozen will work too, and diced flesh of 1 large bell pepper, and 1 pound of diced zucchini and or yellow summer squash. Cook, stirring until vegetables are tender, about 10 minutes. Then add 1 teaspoon minced thyme leaf. Add 2 cups of frozen lima beans along with 1/2 cup of water to moisten. And cook until beans are tender and a buttery glaze coats everything, about 3 minutes. Season with salt and pepper. Serve warm or at room temperature. The games people play. My wife found out I was cheating on her after she found all the letters I was hiding. She got so mad she said she's never going to play Scrabble with me ever again. She must have found out about your X. That's the letter X. Heat can make your brain sluggish. This is the world of medicine. If you find it hard to get your work done during the dog days of summer, blame the heat. In a Harvard University study, 20 students who lived in a dormitory with no air conditioning had slower reaction times, 13% lower performance on basic arithmetic tests, and nearly a 10% reduction in the number of correct responses per minute compared with students who lived in an air-conditioned building. Take a break. Live longer. In a 40-year study of 1,222 men, half the participants received advice to lose weight, exercise, and give up smoking. Compared with the men who worked counseled, the group of men reduced their risk of cardiovascular disease, but then their death rate was higher. Perhaps because making these changes caused stress. Within this group, those who took fewer than 3 weeks off work every year were 37% more likely to die between the ages of 40 and 85 than those who vacationed regularly, giving further evidence to the need to de-stress. A gut bacteria intervention to help the heart. When gut bacteria break down, certain components found in high-fat dairy products, egg yolk, liver, and red meat, they produce a chemical called trimethylethylene, N, oxide, TMAO, which has possible links to cardiovascular disease. Researchers gave mice a substance that blocked out gut bacteria's production of TMAO. A single dose, which reduced the TMO's level for 3 days, was enough to lower the risk of stroke, heart attack, and blood clot formation. Psychic can give you an immune system of a 20-year-old. Researchers studied 125 active psychoses aged 56 to 79, analyzing their blood for markers of T cells, which are known to help the immune system fight infections. Not only did the psychos show higher T cell activity than inactive men and women of the same age group, but they also produced the same level of T cell activity as adults in their 20s. Feeling good could slow tumor growth. From savoring a piece of cake to hugging a friend, many of life pressures trigger a similar reaction in the brain, a surge of dopamine, the feel-good chemical. Recent research suggests this reward circuit may much more than make us smile. Researchers implanted skin and lung cancer cells in mice, then stimulated the dopamine-releasing neurons in the ventral segmental area of their brains. The rush of dopamine disabled a group of cells that promote tumor growth. That allowed the immune system to respond more effectively to the tumors, which were 40 to 52% smaller and lower in weight in mice that received stimulation than in those who didn't. By artificial acting, says the study's co-author, Ayabul of Technical Israel Institute of Technology, we can affect the nervous system and, in turn, the immune system. Moreover, the researchers explained, since the immune system is activated in this way, it appears to create a memory of all the foreign agents to which it has been exposed, allowing it to respond more efficiently to them in the future. Rawls doesn't believe that positive thinking alone can cure cancer, but the study authors hope that cancer patients might someday receive brain stimulations as an add-on therapy that could in turn reduce the need for traditional treatments such as chemotherapy and radiation. Many don't need colonoscopies. A review of 31 studies showed that fecal immunochemical test, FIT, a non-invasive test that identifies hidden blood in stool, is effective in detecting colorectal cancer. This is the strongest evidence that yet that the average risk patient can safely avoid getting colonoscopy unless they have an abnormal FIT result. The right amount of carbs. People who derive between 40 and 70% of their calories from carbohydrates have lower mortality risks than those on low or high carb diets, according to a team study. Carb restrictions can aid weight loss in short term, but it usually means filling up on fats. Consuming too many carbs, though, may lead to blood sugar problems. I can testify to that. Okay, let's switch on over to the consumer reports. And last week, when I got carried away with interesting letters and I kept reading until we were almost out of time, let's finish up the last couple of letters that are left here in this article. And it's CBD. And we've talked about CBD in the consumer reports before, and this is concerning that. But also, later on this month, we're going to look at Reader's Digest take on CBDs as well. I found the article CBD Goes Mainstream in the May 2019 issue something interesting. On page 50, you mention a less familiar risk of heavy and chronic use of marijuana, that of nausea and vomiting. I've been a nurse for 30 years and have seen this result. The problem with nausea and vomiting from marijuana is that anti-nausea medication does not work on it. Hot showers or baths temporarily relieve the symptoms. There is even a billing code for nausea and vomiting caused by marijuana. With states going against federal law and allowing legalization, this is just going to get worse. I was pleased to see your article about CBD, cannabidol, while you reported that people have been able to reduce or replace their opioid medication, you omitted one glaring problem. At many pain clinics, patients must agree that if they test positive for any illegal drug, such as cocaine and marijuana, they will be dropped from any other opioid pain management protocol. It is absurd that there are next to no true scientific experiments because marijuana remains classified alongside heroin. If we truly intend to do everything possible to address the opioid epidemic, CBD must be fast-tracked for research supported by Food and Drug Administrations. And here's a list of what they're testing in their labs. In our 63 labs, we continuously review and rate products. Here are timely picks for this month. String Tremors Gas. We tested 19 models. We test for how quickly and neatly models trim grass, edge a vertical line along the walkway, and cut tall grass and weeds. Overall, handling and ease of use. Easing handling edger is the Echo SRM 230 for $200. Excellent trimmer for less is the Homolite UT 33650A, $100. And Clean Sweep Curved Remington Rustler, $80. String Trimmers Battery. We tested 28 models for how quickly and neatly trims the grass, edge a vertical line along a walkway, and cut tall grass and weeds. Overall handling and ease of use. A cut above. Ego ST15215 for $230. Ooh, it's expensive. 30-minute quick charge. Echo CDSD at $230. And nicely priced. Cobalt from Lowe's, ST130C. $160. Are there any benefits to a string trimmer with a curved shaft instead of a straight one? Whether or not you should choose a straight or curved shaft trimmer will probably depend on your height and what your yard is like. Straight trimmers, which make up the majority of the market, are often more comfortable for tall people who can get them to get a low point without bending over. That's especially good if you have a bad back, says Misha Colonot, a CR tester. We have found that a very good curved model, such as Remington above, can provide better handling for shorter users because it's easier to keep the head of the tool perpendicular to the ground. A curved shaft can also easily trim around or behind objects if your yard has obstacles and hard-to-reach spots. And a review of crackers. We tested 15 crackers. They were tested for flavor and texture, evaluated by trained taste testers, nutrition per serving, including calories, fat, sugar, sodium, and dietary and moods. The number one was healthy and nutritious. Nabisco Triscuits reduced fat crackers, $3 a box. Excellent flavor. Back to Nature multigrain flaxseed flatbread crackers, $3.80 a box. Gluten-free Crunchmaster original multi-seed crackers, $2.80 for a bag. Multi-cookers, researched 8 bottles. How tender meat and vegetations are after slow cookers, stew, and chili, and how well a model sautés onions, cooks rice, and steams vegetables and more. The Slow Cooker Supreme from Breville Fast Slow Pro 6, $250. Air fryer with Super Sautéing Ninja Food, $230. And fan favorite for less, the Instant Pot, 6-quart, $100. Portable wireless speakers. We tested 65 models. Test for quality of sound, how easy it is to set up a system and use the controls, and versatility, which evaluates the presence or absence of useful features. Very versatile, the JLab Audio Block Party for $150. Easy to use and long battery life, and this is a very colorful one too. And it's water resistant, $150. It's the JBL Pulse 3. Rockin' price, Bose SoundLink Color 2, water resistant for $130. Freezers. We tested 39 upright models. We test for temperature uniformity, thermostat control, energy efficiency, noise, ease of use, which evaluates layout, controls, and lighting, and more. The quietest contender, the Frigidaire Gallery, FGVU, $1,170. Petite, with lower energy costs, the GEFUF 14DL, $675. And the large usable capacity, the Kenmore 22042, for $598. And let's take a look at their time travel thing on pests. At 9:38, they published news that will shock most housewives. Of 43 tomato catsup brands we test, all have worm or insect fragments, and 6 exceeded 25 insect fragments per half pint. In 1944, we rated more than 30 insecticides and fungicides and advised gardeners to look for eggs on the underside of leaves before spraying plants with a fine mist, not a drenching. 1955, the first Raid product is launched by Johnson's Wax, now SC Johnson. 2 years later, the off-brand launches. 1963, we report that labeling encouraged the misuse of insecticides. Many have a cavalier attitude with phrases like, smells good too, and for use even around children. In 1974, we petitioned the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to publicly review insecticide products that emit DDP, a substance inked to control flying insects that we believe is unnecessarily hazardous. In 1983, a new product, the ultrasound generator, claims to banish mice, rats, roaches, spiders, and more. Though it may be a somewhat effective on rodents, its utility to work against insects, it's unlikely to use against insects, we say. 1991, CR reports that certain chemicals found in some fleas and tick collars or sprays might harm pets, and we suggest 10 less Bakey's Pet products worth trying. We also tell consumers, pet owners, the ingredients to look for and avoid in pest cell production. In 2010, Brave repellent testers bare their sprayed arms in a mosquito-filled lab cages and record how long it takes for the bugs to start biting on, I'm sorry, it's hard to read. The printing is not very good on this. Starting biting, a test we still do today. The off spray above earns the top score. 2019, our testers find that repellents containing 25 to 30% of DEET offer the best mosquito protection against mosquitoes. The Total Home CVS Woodland Scent Insect Repellent ID 30% is rated as best. And steam mops. Steam mops promise to wipe the floor with your regular mop, lifting dried food spills from ceramic tile floors without the hassle of a pail full of suds. But are these products, often priced around $100, really any better than a standard and old squeeze mop? To wring out the truth, we put our steam mops from Bissell and Shark through a series of cleaning tests in our labs. First, we apply ketchup, which is easy to clean, jam, slightly more difficult, and mustard, which is the hardest to clean, to the surface of a ceramic tile and let it dry. Then we take several passes on the soiled floor with a steam mop. After letting it air dry, we identify how much soil was removed and how much remains. For comparison, we repeat those same tests with an ordinary squeeze mop, resting only hot tap water. The result? The low-tech squeeze mop tended to clean better than most steam mops. And our one mop we tested, Shark Steam Pocket, didn't clean well and has a short power cord, 20 feet. Plus, you must pump the handle to get squirt gun for steam. If you prefer a steam mop for its convenience, the best one we tested are Versatile Product Steam above 175 degrees Fahrenheit to help kill germs and don't require much elbow grease. And there's this graphic here that shows the four that they tested. The Bissell Power Fresh Slim got the best rating. The Large Reservoir Bissell Power Fresh Deluxe got a good score. Best steam delivery, the Shark Gertrude Steam Pocket, and a poor performance was the Shark Steam Pocket 3501. And they have a graphic here that shows a stealth, a steam controller, accessories, and be wary on wood. You don't want to use it on wood. Decoding bread labels. This ought to be interesting. To find the healthiest brown bread, start by looking for whole grains. Adults should eat at least 48 grams of whole grains a day, and studies show that they may help lower the risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes. Examine these labels to choose your loaf wisely. And it shows a slice of bread with the different categories on it. And the first is 100% whole grains. This language indicates that a bread flour is made from the entire grain kernel, the bran, endosperm, and germ. Refined grains, such as white flour, contain only the endosperm. The bran and germ are where most of the healthy stuff, phytotoxins, B vitamins, fiber, and other nutrients is found. Whole grain. Whole wheat bread is made with whole wheat flour. Whole grain bread can also include other types of grain, such as oats, brown rice, and barley. As long as the bread is 100% whole grain, the two types are equally nutritious. 21 whole grains and seeds. How many types of whole grains a bread has matters less than where they appear in the ingredients list. Look for whole grains towards the top, which means they are main ingredient. If they're buried down the label, they may just be sprinkled in or added as a topping. Then there's a thing that shows a picture of 100% whole grain. 100% whole grain stamp means all of the bread's grain ingredients are whole grains, and it has at least 10 grams of whole grains per serving. A 50% stamp means at least half are whole grains, and a stamp without a percentage means that less than half are whole grains, but the product contains or at least 8 grams of grain. Multigrain. This indicates a bread with more than one type of grain, but you want to know how many or whether they're refined or whole based on those words alone. And then we have whole grain honey wheat. This phrase can be confusing, especially when made with appears in small print, because the bread may still contain mostly refined grains, which are not as nutritious as whole grains. Double fiber. This typically means that the loaf's fiber is double the amount found in that same brand's regular brown loaf. To get there, some brands use added fibers like cellulose fiber, but our experts say fiber from whole grains is better. And a check mark over a good source of fiber. By Food and Drug Administration standards, a product with this claim contains 2.8 to 5.3 grams of fiber per serving. But if you want to know the whole exact amount, check the fiber grams on the nutrition label. And USDA Organic. Breads with the seal are made with at least 95% organic ingredients, and the grains used were not grown with harmful synthetic pesticides. And the last one is whole wheat. Whole wheat bread is made with whole wheat flour. Whole grain bread can also include other types of grains, such as oats, brown rice, and barley. As long as the bread is 100% whole grain, the two types are equally nutritious. Cool product feature of the month, Bose Audio Sunglasses. If you're someone who feels that having to remember both sunglasses and headphones is too much of a hassle when you head out for a summer walk, then these 99% UVA, UVB protection Bose frames may be for you. They double as Bluetooth headphones, thanks to tiny speakers tucked into the arms that pipe audio back towards your ears. You still have to carry your smartphone with you to access your audio apps and controls. Our testers say that compared with traditional headphones, the audio rates just pair a bit off. The audio rates just fair. My apologies on that. My wording was bad. A bit soft and hazy, with practically non-existent bass. Even though the glasses don't have earbuds, they keep most of your listening private, though they don't provide any isolation from outside noise, so playback is challenging in loud environments. The frames also contain a motion sensor, so that if you download Bose's free sound-based augmented reality apps on your iPhone or iPad, you'll be able to get GPS directions, play games, and more. The $200 black frames come in two styles, and the Alto is shown in the upper right, and it shows a picture, and they have kind of a fat sidebar on them, but they look like regular glasses other than that. Best for $25 or less, toasters. The Westman 2 Slice at $25, got a score of 84. Hamilton Beach 2 Slice at $25, got 81. And Oyster 2 Slice Toaster for $25 as well, also got a score of 81. How we test water-resistant smartphones. Oh, boy. Having washed a smartphone of mine, I can empathize with that. Where'd your phone may get an accidental swim this summer? In our labs, we face the fear head-on by dropping the phones we test into our dunk tank at left, in a picture of it at the left, and then evaluating how they hold up. Smartphones that claim to be water-resistant typically fall into one of two categories: IP67, which means the unit just should be protected when submerged up to 1 meter deep in water for 30 minutes, or IP68, which should stand water up to 1.5 meters deep for 30 minutes. To verify these claims, we submerge each phone to the claim depth for half an hour. We then check that the phone works immediately after removal, then after 2 days, and again after 3 days. The extra days are to give the phone extra time to dry off. Then we give the model a passing or failing score. In our current ratings, the top phones, including many Samsung, LG, and Apple models, all passed our water-resistant tests. But there's no such thing as waterproof phones, says CR smartphone tester Richard Vick, and even water-resistant models typically don't have a warranty that covers water damage. So if your phone does get dunked, take precautions. Turn off the phone immediately and leave it in a container of uncooked rice for a few days to dry before turning it back on again, he says. The rice absorbs the moisture. And remember that water isn't the only summary hazard. Sand can damage a phone, too. So if you go to the beach, it's wise to put yours in a Ziploc bag, Frisco says. Safety update. What's in your bottled water? A CR investigation reveals potentially harmful levels of arsenic as we push for tougher standards. Here's what you need to know. Bottled water is now the nation's best-selling bottled beverage. Sales grew to $18.5 billion last year, up 19% over 3 years, according to the International Bottled Water Association. But a CR investigation has found that in some cases, bottled water sold in the U.S. stores contains potentially harmful levels of arsenic, sometimes more than would be allowed for the tap water flowing into homes. It makes so sense that consumers can purchase bottled water that is less safe than tap water, says James Dickerson, Ph.D., Chief Scientific Officer at Consumer Reports. If anything, bottled water product for which people pay a premium, often because they assume it's safer, should be regulated at least as strictly as tap water. The federal threshold for arsenic in tap and bottled water is 10 parts per billion, but New Jersey has set a lower standard of 5 parts per billion, just for tap water. New Hampshire is considering a similar content standard for tap water. CR believes the federal limit for bottled water should be revised lower to 3 parts per billion. Growing research suggests that long-term arsenic exposure at levels well below the federal limit can pose health risks. CR tracked down and reviewed hundreds of public records and test reports from bottled water brands and from various federal and store regulators to assess arsenic levels. We found several widely sold brands self-reporting levels above 3 parts per billion. Whole Foods-owned Stanley Spring Water from Idaho, Keurig Dr. Pepper-owned Pepsi-O-File from Mexico, Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water, specific from Olancha, California plant, Volvovic from France, and Crystal Creamery, a regional, turning the page, California brand that stopped selling bottled water in 2008. Consumers could still have some in their homes. The importance of testing. As part of CR's review, we spot-tested 3 brands previously flagged by the Food and Drug Administration for excessive arsenic: Jermuk from Armenia, Pelafil, and Starkey. Jermuk showed a dramatic decline from a 2009 report, with our testing showing levels as average 1.3 parts per billion. Starkey showed levels from 9.48 to 10.1 points per billion, approaching or exceeding the federal limit. Pelafil had an average levels of 18.1 parts per billion, well above the federal limit. Starkey recalled more than 2,000 cases of water in late 2016 and early 2017 after tests showed levels above the federal threshold. Keurig Dr. Pepper, which owns it's spelled P-E-F-I-A-F-I-E-L. I think it's Perfiel, provided CR in March the brand's 2018 bottled water quality report, which indicated non-detectable amounts of arsenic. But after receiving CR's post-test results, the company said a retested it and also found elevated levels on the average of 17 parts per billion. The company said it used a different testing protocol and consulted the FDA. Keurig Dr. Pepper also told CR that it would suspend bottled water production for 2 weeks in April at the Mexico facility that makes that particular water for export to the U.S. and could improve how it filters arsenic from the water. "The health and safety of our consumers is our top priority," said Kate Gilroy, spokesperson for Keurig. But she also said that the company didn't think a recall was necessary, and the FDA agreed. CR believes a recall should have been issued. At press time, an FDA spokesman said it had no immediate plans to recall any of that particular brand. How harmful is arsenic? Arsenic is occurring heavy metal present in some water supplies, depending on local geology. Some natural water sources don't contain the heavy metal. Companies can test for arsenic and treat water to remove it. Drinking a single glass of water with a small amount of arsenic will not harm you, says C.R. Dickerson. But research shows that regular consumption of low levels of arsenic over extended period can lower IQ scores in children and increase the risk of cardiovascular disease, certain cancers, and other problems, he says. The need for better regulation. CR's review found that some companies were issued violations by the FDA and some states for lacking required test data on arsenic levels. The companies were instructed to correct the violations. The FDA itself doesn't test the water. It relies on results provided by company rules, a spokesman said. The agency, however, does spot test imported water. That should change, Dickerson says. The FDA should test bottled water for arsenic and other contaminants. Others say companies should do more. They make a mint on basically something that's a free resource, says David Carpenter, Ph.D., director of the Institute for Health and Environment at the University of Albany State University, New York. So there's no reason that they can't find a water source that is either very low in arsenic or do the treatment themselves. Learning more about water. For now, it's mostly up to consumers to track down data about bottled water, but finding test reports can be difficult. Remember, those results are self-reported, so we can't be certain that water actually has the amount of arsenic claimed, says CR's Dickerson. If you buy bottled water not listed on our chart, you can go to the brand's website to see whether it publishes test results. Some companies also put a phone number and an email address on the bottle label for consumer questions. Try to find brands that show non-detectable levels of arsenic and look in test reports for other contaminants. You can cut arsenic levels by running drinking water through a reverse osmosis filter, but that can be pricey. Test your tap water. Find a certified lab on the Environmental Protection Agency's website. That can also request a consumer confidence report from your local water system. It's also important, especially for children, to limit arsenic exposure from other sources, such as rice, fruit juices, and baby foods. The agency's arsenic health concerns are due to cumulative exposure. The more you consume from all sources, the greater the risk, Dickerson says. So if you want to limit your exposure overall, then water is a good place to start. Arsenic level in bottled water. Brands with lower levels. Leading brands that self-reported arsenic levels at or below 3 parts per billion or non-detectable. Aquafina, Arrowhead, Dasani, Deer Park, Essentia, Evian, Fiji, Glacial Smart Water, Ice Mountain, Kirkland from Costco, Live WTR, Market Pantry from Target, Nestle's Pure Life, Niagara, Poland Spring, and Propel. Those seem to be the most popular brands anyway. Brands with self-reported arsenic levels at above the CR recommended thresholds of 3 parts per billion. The federal legal limit is 10%. CR also spot-tested Starkey, owned by Whole Foods, and Perlafail, owned by Keurig Dr. Pepper. Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring had 3.8 parts per billion. Volvic had 4. Crystal Creamery had 5. Starkey had 8.8, and Palfiel had as much as 18.1 parts per billion. Translating bottled water labels. The glossary can help consumers better understand terms on bottled water labels. Some denote origin, others make up of the water seltzers, tonics, and flavored brands are regulated as soft drinks. Except where otherwise noted, the FDA defined these terms. Alkaline. Water with a pH level above 7. Some proponents say it can neutralize acid in a person's blood and so provide a health benefit. This is an industry term. The FDA doesn't have a standard of identity. Artisan. Water from a well that taps a confined aquifer or an underground layer of rock or sand. Glacial water. Alaska has set its own definition. Glacial water or pure glacial water must be run off from the melting of a glacier in nature or at a processing facility, or can come from an undiluted stream of glacier runoff. The FDA doesn't have a standard. Mineral. Water with at least 250 parts per million of dissolved solids with consistent minerals and trace elements at its source. Bottlers cannot add minerals such as which differentiate from bottled water label with enhanced with minerals. Municipal source. If the label says municipal source, it's from a tap. A significant percentage of bottled water is sourced this way. Purified. Water that has been treated using various methods to remove chemicals to meet standards set by the U.S. Pharmacopoeia, if it can't contain more than 10 parts per million of total dissolved solids. Raw. Water bottled from the source without filtration. If test shows that the source water meets quality standards, it can be legally sold. This is an industry term. The FDA doesn't have a standard. Reverse osmosis. A process that makes purified water by separating pure water from a less pure solution, according to the FDA. The process removes arsenic and other toxins. Sparkling bottled water. Water with natural carbonation. It must have the same level of CO2 after treatment, even if artificially replenished. This is different from sparkling water, which the FDA regulates as a soft drink. Road Report. Stay ahead of the curve with CR Auto Ratings, news and advice. Tips from our test track. Summertime battery smarts. Summer's high temperature can be damaging to our batteries than winter's chill, according to AAA. A battery can be expected to last nearly 5 years or more in most northern regions of the U.S., but fewer than 4 years in the most southern parts of the country. To reduce the chance of being stranded by a dead battery, have your mechanic inspected each time the oil is changed. You should also have your battery load tested once a year after it's 2 years old. If you live in a warmer climate, or after it's 4 years old, if you live in a colder climate. If you live in an area with extreme temperatures, consider getting an absorbent glass mat, or AGM battery, says John Barta, a CR test engineer. AGM batteries can be affected by high heat, but tend to perform better overall than other sealed batteries in our tests. I want a small SUV that would be inexpensive to own. What are the best options? Because your budget is a priority, consider a used SUV. Three-year-old vehicle car costs can be little less half of what they sold for when they were new, and they should have plenty of life left. Our reliability survey data and fuel economy figures can help steer you to a model with a low operating cost. Below are the 2016 compact and subcompact SUVs. Each has shown above-average reliability in our member surveys and some of the best overall fuel economy in our tests. The Toyota RAV4 Hybrid is considered to be about $22,000. The Honda HR-V, which is rated at about $18,000, the Subaru Crosstrek at just under $20,000, and the Subaru Forester at also just under $20,000, the Mazda CX-5 at $19,200. Who's behind the wheel? Fewer than 16-year-olds hold a driver's license today than in 1983. The opposite is true for those over 70. Acura, a recall of an Acura MDX. Acura is recalling nearly 323,000 of its 2014-2019 MDX and 2017-2019 MDX Sport Hybrid SUVs because water can breach the brake light assemblies and cause brake light failure. This makes the vehicle more difficult to see at night and makes the risk of a crash. What to do? Dealers will replace the seats or light assembly land if necessary, and associated wiring harness at no charge. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest of Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. By the way, that address will probably change at some point, but meanwhile it will switch you over. We would like to thank all of our past sponsors for their generous contributions to the Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions or would like to be a sponsor, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Once again, we were previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service, but have changed our name because of our expanded coverage throughout the state. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.